we have the honor of having Eagle Scout in the house. Can I bring you forward and can you lead us to the place to reflect,
sir?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May you be seated. Okay, our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Muxler.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Okay, Council, I have a change to the agenda. Item K, the executive session, RCW 4230.110. We're going to move that to right after C. So right after C will be the executive session. We'll retire briefly to the jury chambers, leave these chambers for a short period, and we'll explain at that time. So this time I'll take the consent agenda, the public comment period. This is the period where the audience can come speak to the council. It's anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything you'd like to address the council. So would anyone like to speak to the council? High school student gets extra credit if you speak. Secret that part is on. Okay, no extra credit for high school students going once, going twice. Okay.
Bing.
Okay, that may be a problem on the executive session. Our attorney is supposed to be here during that. She's not here yet. I guess she's supposed to arrive at 6:30. I'm sure we can't wait until then. So we'll adjust as accordingly. So item K is floating in the wind, waiting for attorneys, which might be appropriate.
Okay.
Next up is the consent agenda. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so we have a great presentation. Wendy, do you want to come up and introduce our guest and tell us about this program? Listed on your agenda as Boy Scout Bat Boxes.
Good evening. I'm just here to introduce Chris. He came to me with the idea of putting in a bat box at the regional pond that we just did for the Main Street and Church Road project. So I know the whole issue of mosquitoes around stormwater ponds has been brought up before, so I'll let Chris kind of talk about that, but this should hopefully help with that since we have a big pond. So.
So before we get Chris up, maybe you know, or then maybe someone else can Google it if we don't know. It's an amazing amount that mosquitoes that a box that bat will consume every evening. It really does help. So do you know offhand?
I don't know.
There you go. Somebody Google it. Ah, he knows.
It's about 500 per bat, and the bat house is about 500 bats. So.
There we go.
Don't steal the thunder from his presentation.
So now we're going to do some Chris Finfrock.
Thank you. So my name is Chris, and I'm here representing the Boy Scouts of America and the Nooksack Salmon Enhancement Association for my Eagle Scout project. Among other things, I was working with NC to build a set of bat houses as well as a trail system along Shell Creek, which runs, I think, like three blocks that way. I'm not really 100% on where exactly it goes to the city, but it's very close to where you guys are sitting. So thank you for listening to me. Tonight I'm going to talk a lot about my trails and the bat houses. So could I have a next slide? Thank you. So I'm working directly for the Students for Salmon program, which is a program put on by NC that serves Whatcom County specifically by teaching fourth graders the importance of environmental science, resource management, being eco-friendly, and also about helping salmon. But one thing that's notable about the program is that it serves about 1,000 students, some of which come from Ferndale, Bellingham, Meridian. Every public school system in Whatcom County is served by the program. Could I have the next slide? So I built a set of trails, which basically link the site to a section of different opportunities where students can learn about those projects So at one station, for instance, they'll get to learn about macrovertebrates, and another station will learn about native plants. And that's going to serve Bellingham and Ferndale and all the other schools that use it by basically teaching kids early in an outdoor setting instead of an indoor setting. So I also designed a set of bathhouses with the help of the city of Ferndale. And basically the idea behind them is to mitigate the mosquito problems that Ferndale's been having in recent years. So one thing that they'll do is they're going to sit there and bring a lot of bats in. Native bats are really, they definitely come to this area, but sometimes they need a little bit of usherings. Excuse me. So by providing the bats, the bat houses are going to definitely bring some bats, which will bring down mosquito levels. So I think I'd like to point out that it's sort of set up right by the retention pond on purpose, because the retention pond is sort of known to bring a lot of mosquito problems, and it's going to hopefully mitigate those problems by combating the mosquitoes at a level which is pretty good. Could I have the next slide? Thank you. So there's some issues with public health with this bringing in a horde of bats into your city, which sounds kind of scary. Among one thing, there's guano, which carries some diseases, so if a student or a community member just started rolling around in bat poop, they could get a disease. So accordingly, I built the bat houses well away from any areas which might be prone to exposing kids. So, like, for example, it's located about 1,000 feet away from the Metro system and 1,000 feet away from any road. Also, another concern is the structural integrity of the bat houses. For example, if you have a big gust of wind blowing over, it could hit somebody or hit an animal or something like that. So I built the bat houses really sturdily. They're placed about 4 feet under the ground with concrete so they won't fall over. And they're also made with treated woods and things that won't rot or really decay ever. So you can expect these bat houses to be a positive contribution to your community for a long time, 20 years. Does anybody have any questions about bats in the area? Or
how many bats would occupy, like, one of the structures?
That's a good question. It depends really on the size of the herd as they migrate in. But I would say anywhere from 50 to 400. So for one of those boxes, and the other one will also take that many, too.
So 50 to 400 bats consuming 500 mosquitoes each per evening.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so one of the things is that you might not necessarily get a flock of bats every single year, and it might take a year or two for the bats to get used to the dwelling. So really what the goal of those things is to support one flock of bats once a year, and then it'll make a remarkable difference, I think.
Great. Councilperson Watson, and then Zimmerman?
So they migrate through. They don't live here.
True. Yeah, okay. They come up north for the summer and then back down south for warmer weather during the winter.
Okay. We'd all like to do that.
Yeah.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Do bats hibernate or do they migrate?
They migrate, or that's what I've read, that they migrate. So I think that their migration pattern goes a pretty long ways. It goes substantially south and then up here for the spring, summer, and fall. They normally typically come in mid-May, so that leads me to think they'll probably come in mid-May and leave in, like, September.
Snow bats. Councilperson Goodrich?
What are the size of these boxes? It's kind of hard to tell on a picture.
That's a good question. They just sit, like, the actual area where which holds the bats is probably, like that, kind of. So it's probably 2 feet by 3 feet, and then you can see on the bottom section there's a whole other little area for them to land, and that's probably, I mean, it's a bit smaller set up like that, kind of. So they're pretty large, and that was one of the reasons that I was worried about safety, because it's a quite heavy thing to hoist up into the air and to keep it there once it's actually up. So, yeah, that was a concern.
Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, a question for our planning director. Are we zoned residential bat or residential bat multifamily, that kind of density?
Yeah, I think that's perfectly okay.
Make sure.
Well, the TIF fee for 500 of them. We're sorry.
It's
air travel. It's cool.
All right, let's let the Eagle Scout finish his presentation. It's a serious endeavor.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for, you know, I really don't know how the city of Ferndale structures the thing, but thank you for putting the time into this program and for giving me the money to do this. It's really going to be beneficial to definitely the fourth grade students learning and definitely the people living around this area. And I'm really thankful that I have
you. Well, this is the time where we thank you, and this is the time that if you have any more fellow scouts, we would like to have a lot more bathhouses. So this is the time we thank you.
I can get you my name, and you can definitely look for me.
Are you going to be monitoring those throughout to see if the bats actually come? Or?
I've been there up there a couple times, and I've always heard it takes a year or two for it to kind of, you know, lose the paint smell or whatever and be more suitable for bats. I'll definitely check it out. Okay.
Come back and let us know how they're working.
Yeah, there it is.
Well done.
Put a little webcam inside.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, item D on the agenda, the resolution Larson Churchill Estates, Phase 3 Extension, Potential New Trail Discussion. Welcome.
Good evening, everyone. The plat of Larson's Churchill Estates was approved on November 8, 2006 for a total of 59 lots. It was approved for two phases. The first phase is near completion, and that's 40 new residential lots. The developers are getting ready to pursue with the second phase of the 19 lots. Where was I? The plat expires on November 8th of this year, so they're getting it in ahead of time before it expires so they can get a two-year extension to the preliminary plat so they can continue their development. So they've completed all requirements to request the extension request. It goes in front of the City Council tonight for a resolution, hopefully approval of the extension. The Community Department recommends approval of the extension as well. And then the other thing that came up in the committee on last Wednesday, was the potential for a trail connection from the western end of Larson's Churchill Estates to the two schools up on Thornton. The map that's in front of you now shows a possible layout of a trail between the plat and the two schools. So that's something that the developer has indicated that he might entertain in exchange for certain park impact fee credits. That's all I have.
So the council, I mean, they voted and approved, but the audience is interesting to note why this would be a good deal for the developers. Mm-hmm. So can you review that in standard program again so we're all on the same page?
Yeah. So basically, if the developer contributes to the construction of that trail, he can receive park credit impact fees against his future building permits. This would help for students living all the way out to Church Road to be able to walk on throughout the Larson Churchill Estates, throughout the trail system there, which would eventually end up at the schools. So okay. It's...
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I'm curious, Brian. I'm fairly familiar with that area up there. We've done a lot of surveying up there for the Veterans Park. I'd rather see that trail go across the south end of Bender Park and then up the west side where there's not a creek, because right where that blue line is, there's a creek runs down most of that, a seasonal creek, which would pretty much render that thing unusable in the wintertime.
Correct. And this is just the first kind of draft to show that there is the potential to connect a trail. So that's absolutely an option to go to the southern end. It's really however the city wants to see that trail constructed, and we would take into account wetlands and creeks and creeks.
It would stay a lot drier.
Correct, yeah.
Agreed. And also there's a lot less trees. I'd be a little bit concerned for the children's safety if we just put a trail up through that really big wall of trees there on the east edge of that park. If we come down the south side and up there, we could actually probably cut down a couple of those cottonwoods and nobody would care.
You know, it was brought up in committee, because Councilperson Olson brought that up, but that's a great example. Is right near there is the trail that goes from Larson Churchill Estates to the self-help development off Thornton.
Yes,
it is. That's a tree-lined section of trail that's, what, Bill, 400 or 500 feet, I think? Yeah, and you know, we haven't had any incident of that. I mean, there's a playground at one end of the trail. So I think that bears speaking to the public that a trail is basically wide enough, and certainly, yeah, there are problems going through woods, but there's trails all over through woods, and that's, I don't think that's a reason ever to not build a trail because it's going through woods. And I think that's kind of a thing we want to establish. That isn't a safety factor that we've had a problem with.
Well, but I'm still concerned more with the water issue.
Understood. Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd like to make a motion to approve Agenda Bill 13-06-002.
I'll second.
We move and second. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Council, way to go. Now, this is the first example of our incentive program thought up by a planning director where a developer can take some retail money and use it to enhance trails in our community. So this is a step that we hope to see lots of in the future, and that's because you were brave enough to pass the Parks Master Plan. So the mayor is smiling tonight. Thank you very much.
We'll change that soon.
Maybe. Okay, next up, ordinance council meeting times. Another way to make the mayor smile.
Or not.
Or not.
Thank you, council members. Before you is an ordinance that revises Ferndale Municipal Code section and chapter 2.04 related to your meeting times. The state's Open Public Meetings Act requires that we basically write down and publicly acknowledge your meeting times and dates as well as where they will occur. So that's what this section does. In the past, there's been discussions about modifying a section of this code related to meeting extension times. This section of code right now calls out a meeting time of 6 to 9 p.m. and can be extended past 9 p.m. with a majority vote of the City Council. Recently, there was discussion related to allowing the mayor to extend the meeting time up to 30 minutes beyond 9 p.m. without a vote of the council. And so we wrap that into this ordinance for your discussion and debate. There are other changes as well in this ordinance related to how our council committee meetings are structured. In the past, this section of code had already been modified to recognize that council committees are considered regular meetings of the council. That's in order to comply with the Open Public Meetings Act because frequently we have more than just the committee members attending committee. That's very similar to the way it's already done at the City of Bellingham and Whatcom County. But what I did was I shored up the language just a little bit more, where I basically said these are regular meetings, and while other members of the committee or the council, up to a quorum even, or quorum or more, could meet, there will be absolutely no final action taken by a majority of the full council, that only the committees make recommendations, and should the council for some reason, of course not this council, but I'm sure a future council, decide to ignore this section where you can't take up final action, it would be null and void anyway. I put that language in the ordinance. The only other change is very minor. It's related to a section on notice requirements for special meetings and regular meetings. The state legislature recently has modified how we have to provide notice for special meetings. And in rather than being very, very detailed in our code related to how we'll take care of that notice, we simply changed it to say we'll comply with state law. That ensures that in the future, should the state legislature make another change, we're always going to comply with state law. So those are the basic aspects of this ordinance, and I will leave it to you if you have questions.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
How does this, before we've had some issues with attendance, and by you changing the committee meetings to a regular meeting, if you miss three meetings, so if a guy is gone for 2 weeks for whatever reason, he's can be dismissed.
That is a really, really great question. We could.
It has to be unexcused.
It does have to be unexcused, and so that would require the council to vote to not allow it to be unexcused. The other aspect would be we could modify in the future, and I don't think this is time sensitive. We could modify the council rules of procedure to recognize that no council member can be penalized for not attending a committee meeting that they're not a part of.
That they're not a
Correct.
But even if you are part of it, you can still call up and say, hey, I'm on vacation.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get this back under control. Hands up. Councilperson Mutchler was first. Next, Councilperson Hanson.
Yeah, I know what brought this about. A councilman could be on three committees.
Can you talk up?
Councilmember could be on three committees and could miss three committees, forgot about it, and have three unexcused absences. So I think the discussion goes back to a previous council, whether those would count per RCW.
That's a very good point. No, it's a very, very good point. I had not tied those issues together, to be honest. This isn't necessarily the ordinance where we address that issue. So I don't think it's the intent, the legislative intent here to penalize folks for attending or not attending, but this already, the ordinance already said, your city code already calls these regular meetings. So we haven't been penalizing folks for not showing up already.
Councilperson Hanson?
Well, and Sam's referring to the council rules is where this would lie. Mm-hmm. You could very simply make this an unexcused absence at any set of committee meetings counts as one day of committee meetings. Just like saying, If we have a TBD meeting and a regular meeting and a workshop, and you're absent from all three, that you're absent, you've got three unexcused absences, and I don't think that's the intent. The intent here is that if you're unexcused a day for committee meetings, for example, that you would have to go accumulate three, which would be committee meetings, a council meeting, committee meetings, or council meeting, committee meetings, council meetings. And that could be cleaned up in that language that's involved in the... And I'm not suggesting how it should read. I'm just suggesting that it goes to the council rules and procedures.
Yeah, and
how that's going to be handled.
I apologize. I don't think the intent at all was to deal with excused or unexcused absences in this ordinance or to ever penalize a council member from being excused from committee meetings or from being absent. State law is a little bit trickier on that because state law is where it says if you miss regular meetings, you can then, and not be excused, you can be kicked off the council if you miss three consecutively. So I understand the question is a good one. I don't think, at least from my standpoint, the intent is to penalize any council member from being absent from a committee meeting in a way that would impact these normal regular council meetings, if that makes sense.
I assume there's a specific RCW that says three on it.
Yes.
In that first sentence, says council committee meetings are considered regular meetings of the Ferndale City Council. You could say except for enforcement of RCW.
We could add that language. That was my intent. It kind of almost sounded like the council wanted to go a different way, where they actually do want to penalize
when
folks.
When we discussed this before, at length upon length, it's pretty difficult in this day and age to have three unexcused meetings because we allow email, phone, Pony Express, phone call, sending up smoke signals. And realistically, I can't ever remember this council ever asking the reason why someone is excused. We have never asked why are you excused, only the fact of that you simply should call in and say, I'd like to be excused. We've never went beyond that of say, well, why? Councilperson Olson.
You're right. This council. But future councils, as in past mayors, could very well interpret it the other way, and it could be used to penalize somebody. So I have to agree with John that the wording is not correct. Maybe we should tweak a little bit and bring it back so that that can't be ever used against somebody at a time.
I think we can handle it right now.
You can
move to approve this with the addition of language related to the specific RCW related to absences where you could not be penalized pursuant to that RCW. And we could put that in this ordinance if you'd like.
So do you need a motion to amend?
You would move to approve it with that additional language, and staff will take care of that prior to publication.
Okay. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I think I initiated this gift to the mayor because of times of almost feeling like you were begging us to stay 5 minutes.
I was.
Yes. So I'd like to make a motion for approval of the change in the ordinance with the supplemental language that would not penalize a person. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. In the minutes, sir.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. And the clerk has the detail of blah, blah, blah.
It's recorded. Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so we move and second it. Further discussion. Councilperson Hansen.
As presented, I can't support because we have what's called workshops at 5 o'clock. And once we get into a 5 o'clock workshop and then we go on to a 3-hour council meeting, I'm sorry, but I'm unable to make good decisions then after that 4 hours of sitting here trying to chew through all sorts of different issues. I could buy the automatic extension on any meeting that started at 6 without a workshop, but given the fact that we're still doing workshops at 5 o'clock on some meeting nights, I'm not going to support it as presented.
And you could always make that amendment as if you'd like to.
Councilperson Ingram, and then Zimmerman.
Well, in support of that statement, that is exactly why I have suggested that workshops be eliminated and be put on the agenda as an item. So we don't discuss them twice in the same meeting, which drags the meeting out inevitably, forever. We have an hour workshop. Sometimes the subject matter takes 20 minutes. We're there for another 40 minutes just because we've got to fill the hour up. And we're going over and over and over and over the same discussion points. And then we go into regular session, we do it all over again. And to me, that is a total waste of time and not lean at all. So if we have the workshop as the item A on the agenda, it's done, it's over with. If we have to allow the mayor to extend a little bit past 9 o'clock to get the business done, so be it. But it's sure a lot easier than sitting here for that additional hour, which us old grumpy white guys, you know, just kind of get ticked off at.
Are you grumpy?
Councilperson Zimmerman and then Hansen.
Well, I think I only recall once that we did not give our mayor the courtesy of another 30 minutes. And I think with a strong mayor system and it's a balance of power, I think if you use your usual charm, we're usually going along with it. But there's a lot of things I agree with what Mel and Paul said about the length of it and the organization of it. And nice try, but I probably won't support this.
Councilperson Hansen and then Goodrich.
Well, I want to respond to what Paul said about doing away with workshops. The only time that we get into a problem is when the same subject matter is in the workshop and then turns around and it's in the council meeting as well. Then I agree. Then it ought to be item A on the agenda and we do it once. But just think about the budget workshop sessions that we go through where we're not continuing the discussion on into the council meeting. And we have at least 7 or 8 or 10 workshop sessions with the budget. The only one where it's continued into the regular session is the one where we actually vote. I think workshops play a very important role in that we tend to be a little less formal. I agree in the respect I do not like the workshop where we're going to carry the same agenda item forward and discuss it all again. And those I think are redundant. But I generally support workshops being at 5 p.m., but on the nights that we have a workshop, I do not believe that we should extend the meeting. And I've consistently voted that way.
And before we go to Councilperson Goodrich, please note that in typical council sessions where the conversation goes on, the conversation going on is never from staff. It's always from council themselves. Councilperson Goodrich.
You are correct.
Occasionally the mayor.
I support this only because I get so frustrated sometimes at our meetings because we come to that, all of a sudden, the magic 9 o'clock, we're in the middle of a discussion, we have to stop the discussion, and then debate how long we're going to stay. You know, we're going to stay 5 minutes, we're going to stay 10 minutes. Then we stay 10 minutes, and we're not quite there yet. Then we have to go through and stop again and go through a whole other discussion of motion and things to extend another 5-10 minutes. And we, you know, to me, I like the idea of, you know, we're in the thing that's real quick. The mayor can say, hey, I want to extend the meeting. We extend it, and we continue on. We don't have to do that stop and debate and debate. And I agree that sometimes the meetings go a long time. I think to me personally tonight's a long meeting because I started work at 4 o'clock this morning, and I'm still going from waking up at 3 o'clock this morning. So, yeah, I can see that some of the times our meetings do get drawn out, but sometimes we need those drawn-out meetings because we're in the discussion And I just hate to say, okay, boom, up, and we don't finish what we're talking about just because it becomes 9 o'clock.
So I have the action before you. I do not have, other than the amendment, basically the language change, I have no amendments or additions before you.
I can vote, yeah.
Councilor,
not a vote count.
I'd like to move to amend the motion to make it automatic. The mayor gives an automatic 30 minutes, provided there has not been a workshop session prior to the council meeting. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the amendment? Councilperson Hansen.
It gives, it essentially says that we will meet for the 3 hours plus a half hour. 3.5 hours is not, but when you start talking 4.5 hours, which is what we're talking about if you put a workshop ahead of it, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe it's just because I. It's not that. Oh,
no.
Okay.
I do have a coupon for Old Country Buffet if you.
Oh, that's.
Wow. With that, I will. Shut up.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Further discussion on the amendment. Seeing none. Voting on the amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Oh, sure.
Suck it up.
On the main issue with the amendment, any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Now that you've passed that,
thank you, Council.
We'll have an automatic extension tonight.
I knew it.
Your lawyer.
There you go.
Our lawyer is here.
I'll talk to my lawyer.
Let's see now. Do you want to go through resolution, the border gas tax?
No.
Okay. So at this time, per
42.30.110,
subsection I, for 30 minutes max, we're going to retire to the jury chambers. So the council will leave the room with our attorney and audience. I'm expecting all of you kids to be good here, but we're gone. And we're going to put Eric is in charge. Okay, we're back in session. Thank you, audience, for having the patience to wait for us while we went through executive session. Council discussion is for you. We'll start with Councilperson Hansen.
I'd like to move that the negotiations regarding the property on Slater Road with the Lummi Tribe be remanded back to administration for negotiation purposes.
Second.
Question quickly, does that mean we won't do L at all, agenda item L?
Correct.
L?
It appears our guests are not there outside.
Smoking their peace, man.
Where was it? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Councilperson Watson, you had your hand up.
I guess I was trying to understand if we do have people here who did want to speak to council. So I guess I'm trying to understand if council wants to not have any discussion tonight. Is that what this motion means to Mr. Hansen?
I don't intend this to cut the discussion regarding if there are people, if there are people who would like to speak regarding this issue. I think we should go ahead and be polite and hear them. I just don't think that it's my intent by putting this motion on the table that we not be a group of seven and attempt to negotiate with seven of us in an open session. I just don't think that works in negotiations, so I'm suggesting we remand it back to
administration.
Okay, can you restate your motion for everyone in the audience?
Certainly. That been moved. I moved that the issue of land out on the Slater Road corridor be remanded back to administration for negotiation with the Lummi Tribe.
Okay, that's been moved and seconded. Now, further discussion. Councilperson Watson, was that enough for your statement? I had another hand up.
That's enough for me to make a decision.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Well, I'd like to see it go back to the Finance Committee. I mean, this is all about money. It's all about numbers. Let's educate ourselves on what this is all about. This, I mean, I guess this is another example of just getting at the last minute. And I just don't like that kind of pressure of
getting this. If it was available last Friday, drop it by my house, call me up, whatever you have to do. I would come and get this and read it over and be more articulate and educated about discussing it. But
so you won't be supporting the motion?
I won't be supporting the motion.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, Lloyd, it's not the Finance Committee's job to negotiate this either. I know it's about money. Well, potentially quite a bit of money. But if the Finance Committee gets involved in it, we're going to circumvent a lot of hard work by staff that's already been done. Because we're going to start back at square one. And I don't think that's a good idea. With all due respect, I think that we've got a good negotiating team. We let them take care of it. And if they want to bring their final draft to Finance Committee, I wouldn't have any problem with that. But I don't think the Finance Committee's got any business putting our fingers in it.
I'll recognize Councilperson Hansen. And Councilperson Hansen, for the audience, can you kind of do a review of ones that haven't attended before what you're discussing right now?
Oh, certainly. There have been two proposals that we've seen, that we've got in our hands. One was a proposal that we made to the Lummi Tribe that I think everyone realizes was rejected because of the it was in the newspaper last week. We received today, administration received this at the very last minute on Friday. So essentially it was received sometime today by administration, a proposal from the Lummi. And it again has to do with the tax sharing of the properties out on the Slater Road corridor. I think it's no secret by the fact that we've remanded this back to administration for negotiation that this is not being accepted in its entirety. However, the council has that motion hasn't been laid on the floor, so we don't know if this were an up or down vote how this would go. My suggestion is to put it back in administration's hands with negotiations with the Lummi, just like you would remand it back to committee to rework and to come up, hopefully, with an agreement or a tentative agreement. Then that would go to committee and then to council for council's consideration at that point. Nothing that administration would do could be final.
Okay.
Is that enough of the synopsis?
Yes, thank you. Councilperson Goodrich, and then back to Zimmerman.
I just want to kind of also kind of tag on to what Councilmember Hansen was saying, is that I personally, and I think a lot of us here, hope that we can come to an agreement with the Lummi Nation on this area. I know I personally would like to see a partnership that way. There wasn't going to be a decision made tonight anyway on this. It was just a discussion item for tonight. But I just hope in the future that we as two groups can come together and, come up with something that we could both work with and partnership with.
Okay, and then you're not saying how you're going to vote because we're still going to open up to it for audience participation. Yeah. So, Councilperson Zimmerman?
Well, that was my point. Chairman Tim Ballew is here, and I would like to hear from him.
Okay, so any further discussion for council, we'll go to discussion afterwards, but we'll go to the audience, and if anyone would like to speak, they'd come to the podium, they'd say their name, try to be reasonably concise because we'll go to our rules procedure of 3 minutes with a possible extension of 2 if I see it's going in the direction where we need more information. So anyone from the audience would like to come forward and speak on this?
This is not a public hearing, though, correct? You're just asking for
this
comments?
This is a standard public comment for items on the agenda.
Just double-checking. Thank you.
So anyone from the audience would like to speak on this agenda item? Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. In response to Council Member Zimmerman's... Tim Ballew, for the record... in response to Councilmember Zimmerman's comment, I really have no question or comments for you folks. We were asked to be here. This is a business of your table, and I was just here to provide any answers to questions you may have. It sounds like you guys may still have some, and that you How you proceed with those is your business.
You can stay right there. So now, open discussion, timer's off. You can have questions with Chairman Ballou if you would like.
Okay.
Councilperson Zimmerman, are you indicating you'd like to?
Sure, I can come up with some kind of a question. Yeah. Tim, thanks for being here tonight. And I speak along with Brent, is that we would really like to see something move ahead. I think there's just an opportunity for something to be. Correct me if I'm wrong, we've been working on this for over a year. Okay? So I would like to see that we would somehow move ahead, and however creatively we do that, I think it's really important that both our communities, our families, and things are all intertwined. And it's, again, I think it's about money, it's about financing, and I think that we should have a small amount of time for a finance committee. This is so important that at least we talk about some of the points here in a small group setting.
So do you have a question for Chairman Ballou?
You're allowed to say
no. I was looking for a question.
Well, I mean, again, I'd be a lot more if I would have got this on Friday versus 15 minutes ago.
Councilperson Mutchler and then Watson.
Chairman Ballou, thank you again for reaching out to us. I personally appreciate that. I wanted to ask you to convey to us your sense of urgency on this, because I don't think there's a feeling of urgency over here, because there isn't, but I think my impression that the urgency issue is important to you. I'm just wondering if you wanted to explain that. You don't have to, but it might be helpful to us.
Well,
it's up to you.
Well, it's a less sense of urgency. We do know that you discussed it at your last meeting the terms that were voted on were not in agreement with the rest of the council on our end, and since it was fresh in your mind, we did make amendments to the one that you voted on just for you to reconsider.
Council, again, remember in your action tonight, you have the ability to give some direction to staff if you'd like. The motion before is to basically put this back to administration. You can offer your opinion or opinions to administration if you have any tonight. Councilperson Watson, you were next.
Yes, sir. Chairman Ballou, quick question. What council did approve a couple of weeks ago, so you've already taken that back to your council, and so you didn't get anywhere with that either, so that's why you'd come back with this, which is slightly modified?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And I guess for staff, my concern, one of my largest concerns in the treaty is the trust. I don't think we can give up our right to protest the land going to trust. I completely understand why you want to put land into trust, but I don't think that we as a city can ever give up our right to protest that. You know, I think we can still have a relationship without being able to give that up.
And for the record, all proposals that we've brought to the table still reserved the city's right to do so.
Because that's not how I read it. Just so you know, when I read it, that's not how I read it.
Really?
Which clause is this?
In today's.
I didn't get that from that.
Section 5, fee to trust. Mm-hmm. Ferndale shall support any Lummi fee to trust application for any real properties and tax properties east and trust property. Such property shall be without qualification and shall include but not limited to a timely submission, so forth. The whole trust property, how big is the trust property? Because it's trust properties east and trust property. I was worried that...
Trust properties is the 80 acres, and tax properties east has 10 of the 80 acres.
Okay.
Because tax properties...
So it was our intention off that last meeting to say we are not, on both sides, mm-hmm. we are not protesting, we are reserving the right to protest if we like to in the future, and they are reserving the right to put land in trust if they wish to do so.
Except for tax properties east and the trust property.
Correct.
Okay.
The agreement that the council approved removed Section 5 from
that is
the
correct
version, so that does preserve both sides.
That's correct. But what Mr. Ballou has brought does...
Yes, so what you're saying is to this version
has put that part of it.
Language requiring the city's support for that specific problem.
And I'm still uncomfortable with that. Okay. I'm uncomfortable with us giving up our right to protest any part of it. I mean, the other parts we can certainly talk about, percentages and escrows and such, but I don't want to, for me, that's kind of a deal killer personally.
So, in specific, is you would like a specific wording that says we would still have the right to protest trust applications in the future?
Any trust application.
Anytime. Trust application. Okay. I think we're clear on that. Okay. I think that's kind of where we're going anyway.
Okay.
I have Councilor Zimmerman and then Goodrich.
Again, it would be my desire that we sit down and go through these one by one with our legal people with us, and just there could be an area that we're just overlooking here, and that all of a sudden it's a rush thing, you know, just an hour before, and we're all running around here with our heads cut off because we're not really, you know, comfortable with all the things that we got going on here. And I think it can, you know, move ahead, and there's some interesting language that we may not be speaking the same language on certain issues here, and you know, we've got some legal staff back when we have our meetings, you know, executive sessions, but I think it's important that we have your counsel and our counsel, and that we don't go through these small micro groups, and that we have a work session and try to, because there's certain points that we feel strong on, and there's certain points that I think aren't strong enough. So I just, again.
Well, this is a public, mm-hmm. by our laws, mm-hmm. by, you know, the laws of our nation, now it's in a council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have either committee meetings or council meetings, but in terms of the discussion of the contract, that's not executive session. It's public. So
right.
I have Councilperson Goodrich, Hansen, and then Ingram. And should the chairman step? You still have questions for him?
No. I don't.
Okay. Do you? Either you question. Okay. Thank
no.
you. We reserve the right to bring you back.
Thank you, Chairman.
You may be called back.
Yeah. You may be called back. Okay. Councilperson Goodrich.
Without actually reading all 10 pages tonight, because I'm not a speed reader, I didn't take the Elwood & Wood speed reading course. My question and maybe a direction to staff would be, this agreement is strictly for sales tax, if I'm correct.
No, it's not.
No. Well, what I want to make sure that in a way that we look at is the area of hotel motel tax or whatever, if that falls under the same percentage splits or how that would be clearly defined, so that
the only, if you understand in terms of as we have all looked at the map, we understood the map, is the part you could negotiate with or we could have would be the area that's in the city limits of Ferndale now. So we have no ability to put parameters or rules upon another municipality's UGA. So
I thought the discussion last time included the future 70 of the 80 acres on the east side.
Well, staff did not go that direction. Councilperson Hansen went there. I would say that it's probably assumed by some, but, again, we cannot put parameters or rules or taxation on someone else's UGA, and our clerk would clarify.
To clarify from the last meeting, based on the minutes, because I've listened to this tape over, what occurred last time was the council focused on an agreement with Tax Property West. The tribe requested that you also include information related to Tax Property East. That is where there's the discussion about only sales tax sharing. Whatever is not included, whatever is not called out, would not be collected by the city of Ferndale in that language. I think that's what you're referring to, is that issue.
Yeah.
That has not yet been decided at this time. But that is where you left off last time, saying we want to talk about Tax Property East in the future. So you approved an agreement specifically related to Tax Property West, removing Article 5 and sending it back to staff. The Lummi Nation obviously voted down that agreement, and so that's where we are today.
Okay.
Councilperson Hansen, and then Ingram, and then back to Zimmerman.
I want to respond, Lloyd, to some of the comments that you've made. Three times tonight, since we've come out of the executive session, you've asked for this to go to the Finance Committee. There's a process we use to do that. It's called an amendment. And you're certainly welcome to put an amendment to the motion on the floor when it's your turn, And if you get a second, then we can discuss that. The point I will make is that everything I've ever learned about negotiations, you don't negotiate with a big group of people. It's just not possible to come to any. If we tried to negotiate and we asked the Lummi tribe to come in here with their entire tribal council, and we would sit here in this room and we would back and forth with their group, you think we'd ever come to an agreement? Absolutely not.
You're addressing me?
I'm addressing you. I'm saying, you know.
You guys have had this for over a year now.
Finished.
Okay.
You've suggested that this go to the Finance Committee for, I guess, to give direction to administration. And I'm going to suggest that if any council member has a thought about this, that you need to address that to Gary or to Greg, that you'd like to see this in the agreement or that in the agreement. They may be able to accommodate it or not accommodate it. I don't believe it's going to be possible, either in this format or in a committee format, to come up with a consensus for them to negotiate. Negotiations is one of those things that's typically done behind closed doors. If they've got a feel for what this council wants, because individuals have contacted them, then they should come up with an agreement that encompasses that feel and come back to the council. At that point, the council, certainly I believe that this should go to the Finance Committee after there's a tentative agreement.
Okay.
But not at this point. This point, just spinning your wheels some more. So my suggestion to you, Lloyd, is if you're still insistent upon that approach, put it in the form of an amendment to the motion. Otherwise, let's not discuss.
Keep your thought process, Councilperson Ingram, Zimmerman, and then Metzler.
Well, I'm concerned with one other aspect here, Greg and Gary, and that's the utilities. They're asking us to provide police, water, sewer, and other infrastructure support to Tax Property East. And we've got a big, or have had a big issue in the past with providing water and sewer outside our city limits.
Tax parcel East is it?
I'll go back to kind of the same subject as Councilperson Goodrich. What you're discussing is you are discussing properties that are within the city limits of Ferndale right now.
Okay.
They are city limits, so it wouldn't matter if it was Tim Ballew or Gene Goldsmith. He has a right in terms of city limits to have the ability to apply for water, sewer, or utilities right now, and that doesn't go away.
That's fine.
Okay. Councilperson Zimmerman and then Metzler.
Well, I move that we would put this back to the Finance Committee, at least for discussion, for some of the points that we think are key and important to us. And there's some also things that we could be adding to this that would sweeten the deal. And I've been done plenty of deal putting together, as you've known before. And it's the idea is, you know, how can everyone win? How can we creatively think outside the box and bring more value to this relationship than just the dollars and cents?
So the motion is to move away from administrative negotiations and to
that can continue
the Finance Committee.
Is this an amendment to the original motion?
I mean, I have
yes.
no...
Yes, this is an amendment to the original motion. I would need a second for further discussion.
I mean, I don't see this doing parallel lines.
I see no second, so okay. Discussion is ended.
Thank you for your support.
Councilor?
Yeah, since we're being directed to direct staff, the negotiations. I just want to go on the record of personal feelings. First of all, I said this before, I want the Lummi tribe to succeed amazingly so in their business endeavors. And I recognize that as a federally recognized tribe, they have some advantages built into their status. And we've talked about them here before. I won't bring them up now. And there are some advantages that make me very hesitant to want to direct staff to share any sales taxes. And I'll just use the example of Quilceta. The Quilceta development with Tulalip's has no sales tax sharing agreement at all with anybody, and they apparently are succeeding really, really well. So I'm in a minority view on that, but I do want to state that for the record. And I do agree with Councilmember Watson. I have a difficulty of not being able to challenge trust status. I think we should be able to do that from here on out. And those are my concerns, and that would be my personal direction.
So direction of staff is that the agreement basically, I mean, I think that one's almost, you know, agreed upon now. Chairman Blue basically was saying the same thing. We have the right to protest future trust applications. They have a right to apply for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so we have the motion on the floor. Any further discussion on that? Councilperson Olson?
I'll be abstaining as I did before.
Okay. And then any further audience participation or questions or comments? Okay. Come forward, sir.
Hello, my name is Gary Bannerman. I live at 6810 Portaway, Ferndale. I spoke a couple weeks ago. You folks heard from the Lummies. They had an agreement, and you guys voted 4-2 to kind of over not go with that, but go with your proposed agreement. I'm encouraging you guys to, like Mr. Hansen recommended, is remand this back. It seems like this is all about money and sales tax, and I know there's another agenda item on for sales tax for our gasoline tax. So you guys are looking for money. I don't understand why we would give up sales tax on proposed growth. When it comes to partnership, my family has land up at Grandview. I'd like to partner with the city of Ferndale. Maybe I can come up with an agreement in a few years that you guys would partner with me, and I can split some things. And I'm not sure what they are yet, but maybe we can come up with some ice cream bars or something.
Yeah.
So it's all about money, and I wish the Lummi Business Council to do well, too, and promote growth and come up with business, but I don't see we think we should give away what you have. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Bannerman? No?
Thank you,
thank
so
you
Mr.
Sir.
Bannerman. Okay, so we're on a roll. Anyone else in the audience would like to speak, or anyone else like to come forward? Okay, seeing no takers.
Quick question, just to reiterate. This
sure.
motion is just going to send it back to staff to continue negotiations?
That is the motion before you.
Thank you.
So both of these contracts that are before you, we have two basically.
Something council has approved, and then what the Lummi have come back with.
Yeah. Okay. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Would there be any problem if I sat in and listened to this?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because.
That's up to the council, but I'm just stating for my own. I would have a problem with any council member being present.
The only, I guess, I'd have
silently?
To ask administrator. Well, just let me finish. We have in the past had council members ask and have been granted the ability to sit during union negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Now they sit and do not comment.
I'm okay with that.
Our clerk has a different perception of that.
The reason why the city council members are allowed in union negotiations is because state law specifically involves the council in collective bargaining issues. In fact, collective bargaining issues are not even subject to the state's Open Public Meetings Act. So that's a completely different issue than this type of negotiation. I would say that we should defer to the council majority as to whether or not they're comfortable with another member of the council sitting in on these negotiations, and you might want to hear from the person dealing with the negotiations as to whether or not they'd be comfortable with that as well.
Would that be a separate vote, though? I mean,
yes.
I believe so, yeah.
I would prefer it was a separate issue.
Okay, so yeah. I'll go to the administrator. We'll go to the vote, and then if Councilor Zimmerman wants to bring it up as a proposal for council that he's allowed to attend, he would need to propose it and get a second. So we'll go to city administration.
Yeah, I'm pleased that you're taking the tact of referring it back to administration for negotiation. Negotiations are always interesting. I just this past weekend we had our grandkids up, and if our grandson doesn't get the answer he wants from grandma, he asks grandpa, and grandpa says, ask grandma. If I didn't do that, we would have a hard time with our grandchildren. So in a lot of ways, there is a distinct disadvantage of having negotiations by committee, or for that matter, even swapping negotiators. I mean, there's you develop a certain level of understanding and trust and the issues become known between the parties, and at some point I would hope that the council either has confidence in administration, and on the Lummi side, I assume that they have confidence in their team as well. But it's not really changed very much, so I would prefer to keep it the way it is, just from a continuity and I think a strategic standpoint.
And you have been negotiating this for over a year. You've been in that position?
We've been meeting for...
Over a year, okay.
Off and on for a year.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, you look at the document, even as Chairman Blue stated, this is several pages, but there's lots of pages here. We're getting down there.
Okay.
I think Councilperson Mutchler has attended our union negotiations, and it'll start out here, and then we'll get down to like, okay, well, what are the one, two things we got to wrestle over here?
And there you go.
We're getting down to the one to two or three things that we're wrestling over. Councilperson Mutchler?
There have been some sincere sentiments about we want the Lummis to succeed, but by my vote now, I'm expressing my confidence in the administrator and the mayor to not look out primarily for the Lummi Nation, but to look out for the interests of the city of Ferndale. And my experience in watching you two do this, and I know you haven't pulled this together yet, but that's the primary concern that you have. I'm convinced that you're interested solely in the best interests of the city of Ferndale. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm supporting the continued negotiation from you two to these folks. That's your number one job, and that's what you've been doing the whole time.
And we will still bring back something that will be voted on by you. Okay, any further discussion? We're comfortable on the motion. We know what's before us. Okay, we'll go to roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Olson is abstaining. Councilmember Ingram?
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Aye. Okay, so we're back to negotiations. We'll start those as quickly as possible as soon as we get our schedules together. So we move forward, hopefully, to come with an agreement where both sides are. My term to the union was, I'd like to make you reasonably happy. Okay, now, so Councilor Zimmerman, are you wanting to make a motion that you're a guest at negotiations?
That would be nice. I'd give the mayor and administrator the power to do that.
You'd have to bring it forward in a motion. Stated as a motion. I, Lloyd Zimmerman, move that I be given the permission to attend negotiations.
I move that the mayor and the city administrator be allowed to make that executive decision whether or not I'm to listen in or not.
Well, you don't need it.
You don't need a motion for that. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so there's no motion before the thing.
Okay. I think that's your answer.
Not yet.
Yeah, we...
Well, they're empowered to do that.
Moving on.
They're empowered to do that if they want to. Do that.
Word,
that's the point.
You're right.
Okay, moving on. We have another discussion. Lots of people have patiently waited to discuss. So thank you for your attendance. We're moving back in negotiations. We'll meet you at City Hall at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Coffee and donuts? Just some.
Yeah. Okay, next item on the agenda. Resolution, border gas tax ballot measure motion, send November ballot, placed before council. Our clerk will now speak to us.
Good evening, council members. Obviously, at your last meeting, you approved reconsideration of this issue. So what that means is you approved reconsideration of the motion that was on the table or before the body. And it's exactly as it was. So the motion at the time from Councilmember Ingram was to approve the resolution for a ballot measure sending a 1 penny per gallon border gas tax to the voters of the city of Ferndale on the November 2013 general election ballot. The only thing I'll say is there were questions previously brought up related to whether or not the city of Ferndale is allowed to levy this tax. We discussed that in committee that I believe we are very confident based on legal advice that we are able to do that. Even more importantly, I think that should there ever be a question, that we could simply bring Pete Kremen up and have him let you know that as the person in the legislature who sponsored this law, he specifically meant for Ferndale to be involved. And so I think it's pretty clear from our standpoint. Other than that, this is really, you know, a decision of the council whether or not to do it. And I will leave you with that.
I had a question for Sam.
Okay. Question for our clerk, Councilperson Olson.
You asked the station owners to give you their figures for a possible exemption. Did you get any?
I did not. I gave them a deadline of, I believe, March 27th, and I did not receive any information.
Yeah. If I could, not talking directly to the station owners, I have made some inquiries, and I think should you want to put an exemption, a for so many gallon exemption, I think I can let you know what a fairly reasonable number would be.
Can you give us that?
Oh, okay, sure. 50,000 would be, it's probably a little bit less than what they would pump on average, a small station would pump on average. Not knowing Ferndale in particular,
so,
I don't know how close
so
that gets.
For audience clarification, it would be
reasonable.
The tax would be exempt for any gallonage.
The first
50,000.
The first 50,000
would be exempt.
Yeah.
Can I clarify really quick? Related to an exemption, the motion before you is a ballot measure. So if you're discussing an exemption, your options, as we've discussed previously, are to either place that exemption within the ballot measure itself, which is the motion before you, or should you approve this as is, staff had already intended to bring back the ordinance related to a system to set up the Board of Gas Tax Administration, so related to auditing of the system. And we had actually intended to bring the exemption. Staff still does believe that that's appropriate if necessary, but right now the motion before you is related to the ballot measure, so it's up to council whether or not they want to modify that to include the exemption.
Thank you. But the other part of my question is, I read a newspaper article on this, based on what was happening in the committee, that someone actually suggested adding car tabs to it. But I don't see any of that in the minutes. Did that actually happen in the committee, or was this article off?
I believe it was said after we had adjourned.
Oh. Okay. By council or by committee members?
There was one council member who discussed potentially a car tab.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilperson Hansen?
Just to clarify on that issue, what's in front of you is the ballot measure that was passed and then reconsidered. That's the only thing that's in front of you. Sam, the two options for an exemption, one would be to place the exemption as part of the ballot measure.
Correct.
The other would be to pass the ballot measure and then have staff bring it forward, and it would not be part of the ballot measure at
Correct.
That point?
Correct. It would be within the new code section that sets up the Board of Gas Tax. And to be clear, our attorney has said that she finds nothing illegal about that, but she would be more comfortable if it was placed within the ballot measure.
Correct.
Would the committee chair like to summarize direction from committee? Councilperson Ingram?
Well, the committee discussed this for quite some bit of time, and frankly, the discussion centered around the fact that, if my memory is right, and it probably is not because I've only got one brain cell left.
There it went.
It's basically
last one.
He had to breathe.
It leaks too. The discussion basically centered around the fact that this border gas tax is designed to alleviate the impacts on the streets of Ferndale by the Canadian traffic. And we have very little of that. They're not using our streets. They're using the exit at 262 and maybe at 260. But you don't see Canadians down at the gas station down there. They're just not there. And I've got some sense of that because I spend a lot of time at that station. I don't buy my gas there, but I go in there and buy a lot of other stuff and yak with the customers. And it's kind of my version of Babes, you know. But I've never seen a Canadian plate in the mini mart down here. I do see them over the 262 stations, and they're crammed into Pilot, stacked on top of each other practically. But that's not on our streets. So the thoughts of the committee was, why don't we just not do this? Because it's a tax on an individual small business group. And I've talked, I only spoke with one station owner, just because I didn't want to be unduly influenced. But I talked to a lot of small businesses in Ferndale, basically the majority of the Chamber of Commerce membership. And they all said, bad idea. Because you're targeting a small business because of what they sell. And if you can do that for a gas station, somebody's going to come up with a way to do that for the burger joint. Or Outlaws to sell taxes of beer 1 cent because the Canadians might be in there drinking it. It's kind of a far-fetched argument, but, you know, it kind of makes sense. They're not really on our streets. They're just using the exits. So the consensus from the committee was...
I think it's correct. I think my counterpart in New York is, large soft drinks?
Yeah, something about 16 ounces. To clarify, the committee actually, the committee's recommendation, I believe is unanimous, was to delay a decision on this until after the state legislature made up their minds related to a 10-cent per gallon gas tax that they're considering levying. So that was right. The actual motion from committee. Right. That would have the effect of killing this, so it's pretty much the same thing as just voting no on this tonight. Either way.
Councilperson Olson and then Goodrich.
We're back to using smoke and mirrors to change what the intent of this was to let the citizens vote. Yet we're having three people dictate to seven people to try and kill it at this level, when all it should be is we're not imposing any tax on anybody. We're letting the citizens vote if they want to impose a tax. That's a big difference. So all the time we have all these council people that are sitting here at this table saying, yes, the people should have a right to decide on voting on things. Yet here we are denying them one, and somebody, I don't know who because I wasn't there, is even suggesting we impose a $20 tax on car tabs with no vote, just based on what three people have had to say. So it's a matter of, do you want to let people vote or not? We've had this discussion when we did the budget last year, and we cut out all of Janice's street repair money. So if everybody up here is willing to say we're going to put that back in, I don't know what it was, Janet. Well, 100 grand seems like what?
It's been a little bit higher than that.
It was higher than that?
Yeah.
So if everybody's willing to say even that we'll put that money back this year, because all of us will be making this come November, and that money will go in there and we have everybody's assurances at this table, then okay, let it die. But we're all going to have to say we agree to do that. And with what the mayor... and the new state thing that Mark has to go through, we're already not looking good based on the new state accounting rules. So I don't know where you're going to get that kind of money. We might not get it anyway, but at least the citizens can vote either yes or no if they want the streets approved. Let them decide.
Okay, I have Councilperson Goodrich, and then Mutchler, and then Watson.
I've been opposed to this every time it's come up. It's not something that I was accused of doing just because it's an election year on the Herald blog. So I'm going to continue my opposition to this. I'm also, even the idea of a threshold that if you sell underneath a certain amount, you're not, you know, the first whatever is free. I think what that is just basically saying, pilot, you're going to pay for everything, and everybody else gets to skate. And I don't think that's right either. If we don't do that to Higgins or Cost Cutter, say, Cost Cutter, you can't, you know, lower your price because you may take business away from Higgins or whatever. So I just can't see doing something like that. As far as your comments about the money, I've always been a pro-economic person. I'm going to continue to be a pro-economic growth person. If we had the economic growth, if we had the big box store in here, we'd be looking at $700 to $1 million a year in sales tax revenue. We wouldn't be looking at $50,000 that this tax is going to bring in. We'd have the money to do it. So to me, if you're looking for things, I'd rather see us doing stuff that would bring in the economic growth. We've been talking about large retail for 6 years that I know of.
before I've been on council, and two prior to that on the Planning Commission. That it's just around the corner. It's almost here. The big box is almost here. Well, that's been 6 years, and I've yet to see it here. Those are my comments in response to you. That to me, retail is the way to go, and I'll continue to voice that opinion.
Councilperson Mutchler and then Watson.
Yeah. I supported this 2 years ago. I just feel like I was wrong, and I've changed my way of looking at this thing, and so I'm against it. And I just wanted to make a couple comments about some of the things Councilmember Olson just said. There was a discussion of tabs in committee. It was known by fiat was going to impose tabs. There was no vote on committee to impose tabs. It was just one of a number of ideas that came up in this discussion. Council did approve sending to the voters a 0.2 sales tax, and it was approved, and that's bringing in $350,000 a year. We sent that to the voters because we supported it. I'm uncomfortable sending things to the voters that we don't support. Philosophically, and Councilmember Olson and I are going to disagree about that. I don't think we should send things to the voters unless we're ready to support it ourselves, and I can't support this, so I won't send it to the voters. I don't mind this coming back someday with an exemption, but I'd like a little more precise analysis as to what that exemption might be. Also, a more precise analysis as to what the real Canadian impacts are. I tend to agree with Councilmember Ingram. I've looked and watched, and nobody in Ferndale with Canadian plates, not even a whole lot from my own subjective point of view out on the highway. There are some, but not that many. So, again, I can't support it.
Mayor Jensen. Just to clarify, I did seek out information related to Canadians shopping within the city of Ferndale with the State Department of Revenue. They don't keep stats like that, so there's no way really for us to provide you with that information. So Blaine, Nooksack, Point Roberts, TBD, they all impose this tax without that data. But I totally understand that. That's fair. I mean, I like data too, and that's why I did ask for the exemption information or the gallon information from the station owners, because I wanted to see some hard data. So I totally appreciate that. I'm not going to be able to get that for you.
Councilperson Watson and then Ingram.
I was in the committee meeting, and I didn't realize that it had ended when the conversation began. But there was a conversation about whether we should have $12 car tabs or $20 car tabs. And what upset me is the person who wanted $20 car tabs basically said that he didn't think there'd be a political downside to that. And that made me uncomfortable. Because right now we're talking about whether or not to let the voters make a decision, and the council member said that he didn't think if council just acted unilaterally, there'd be a political downside. Basically saying letting the people decide, you know, would be much more painful than just having council do whatever council wants to do. And that really upset me a lot. I just felt like some very powerful people were telling us that this could not go to the voters. And perhaps those powerful people didn't mean it that way, but that's how I took it. That they did not want the voters to see this for whatever reason, and that really upset me. And it still upsets me because I do know that some of you want car tabs, and I want you all to understand, if you go car tabs, you have the right to do that, but that will cost people a lot more money, and it will not take advantage of the Canadians, and I don't know how many Canadians. I do not spend my time sitting at Pilot County Canadians. It won't affect the truckers that stop there either, and it won't affect the people who live just outside of town who drive through Ferndale all the time. They will not have to pay car tabs. Now, whether you drive 10 miles a year or 100,000 miles a year, car tabs means you will have to pay the same fee. A penny per gallon is a user fee. The more you drive, the more you pay. And I suppose if you want to be literal, you know, this is only because of the Canadians. Fine, the Canadians do affect our roads. They're shopping at Hagen. I counted three today when I was at Hagen, if that's worth anything for you. Three Canadians, yes, I was there for 15 minutes. It was tedious. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. The bottom line is we need money for roads. So if you don't want to do it this way, it's not going to go away. We have got to do road maintenance. And I personally, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to sign up to do another new road until this council figures out a way that every year we have a guaranteed funding source for maintenance. I am not going to keep signing up on buying Jaguars when we can't even change the oil in our Ford Focus, all right? You don't want to do this, fine. Don't do this. If you think it's going to, you know, be politically bad for you to do it, then whatever. I don't care. But you're not going to get away with not being able to pay for the roads. We have to maintain our roads. We have to maintain our infrastructure. You know, find another way to do it. If you don't want to do it this way, fine, but the discussion is not going to go away. That's all.
Councilperson Ingram and then Metzler.
Well, I think the discussion that came up in committee that started with started the discussion of car tabs was a basically bottom line discussion. We do a penny border gas tax. We've been told it's going to generate approximately $50,000 a year. If you consider that there's 8,000 vehicles in Ferndale, a $12 gas in a car tab is $96,000 a year dedicated to roads. We think there's probably closer to 12,000 vehicles in Ferndale, which equates out to $144,000 a year for roads. So it's a matter of if you want roads fixed, $50,000 isn't squat. Janice couldn't patch potholes on Thornton in front of the school for $50,000 last year when it was completely crumbling in the snowstorms. I mean, that's not enough money. If we want to fix the roads, we've got to generate some semi-serious money. And a penny gas tax isn't going to do it.
Question for staff, is that $50,000 based on any real data, or is that a wag?
Well, it's...
Blaine makes much more than $50,000.
Yes, we've recently heard, and I think it was confirmed, that Blaine is currently making closer to $200,000 a year. I don't know how many stations they have versus how many stations we have, but that's...
Pretty close.
That's the number that we've been told for 2013. Okay. That's what they're on track to.
Which is much greater than 50,000.
Yes.
Thank you.
To be clear really quick, I believe our estimate has been 50,000 to 100,000, as Mark's conservative estimate has been. It's
that's based on what? Because we don't have any gallons sold data.
What we did was, during the recession, we got Blaine's information, because we've been discussing this now for 2 years. Their figure was lower. And so we looked at their figures, and then Mark did a very conservative projection about how much we would collect from the Board of Gas Tax based on that. And so we've just carried forward that figure. But we did recently get an update from them as to where they're at now.
Another nuance of the gas tax is that unlike the regular gas tax, that when you go in and pay your bill, it goes to the state, the penny gas tax is collected and administered and remitted directly by the gas station to the city. So the state isn't involved. So I bring this up only because there's no data that the state has as to what the other cities are getting in gas tax, because the state's not involved in the collection of the gas tax.
Thank you.
Councilperson Metzler?
This is maybe a little bit for the audience. In addressing Councilmember Watson, the question is, the struggle has been for some of us, who pays for the penny? And we're not going to debate it here, but some of us feel the customer will pay for that. They go into the pump today and it's $3.95, and tomorrow will be $3.96. And that's a legitimate point of view. I don't share that. If I did, I would be more supportive of this. It's my personal belief, without any agenda, without anything else, is that the small business owners and those stations around Ferndale that say Shell, they're not owned by the Shell Corporation. They're owned by families and individuals that own those things. Lastly, I just want to say, and I'm troubled by this, it's been suggested on the Internet, on the May 7th Herald blog by one of the council members here, and I think another one kind of hinted at it, that somehow there's a political advantage for us to side with the gas station owners. I haven't quite figured that one out, how there's a political... it's been suggested I would even make up things and lie to support the small gas station owners for political advantage. I haven't quite figured out if there's an advantage to that, honestly. But I want to be very clear. I've never accepted campaign contributions or help from any gas station owner, and don't plan to. So I was accused of that, and I want to go on the record saying, not a chance.
If you live your life reacting to the Herald blogs, you're in trouble. You probably should quit politics right now.
Story comments, not blogs.
Councilperson Hansen, and then Councilperson Olson.
I moved the previous question.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. That means we're going to vote right away. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, we are going to go to the vote. Essentially a vote.
The motion is
to place the item on the November 2013 general election ballot.
I thought we were voting on the question.
You just moved the previous question.
You've got to be quick. I'm a fast one.
I figured. I thought
and now the motion before you, before the body, is to approve this resolution and place it on the ballot.
So a yes vote.
No more discussion, too, by the way. There should be no more debate because they've moved the question.
Roll call.
And we'll do a roll call. A yes vote means it goes on the ballot. A no vote means it doesn't go on the ballot. Okay, roll call vote from our clerk.
Councilmember Watson.
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen.
No.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram.
Nay.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Nay.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Nay.
Councilmember Goodrich.
No. Okay, motion is that issue is off the table.
5-2.
Okay, so moving on to the agenda. That's it for the agenda. The mayor reports significant information that I shared with Yori is that we got the population estimates for 2013 for Ferndale, and it shows we are now projected at the end of 2013 to be a city of 12,290 citizens, unless there's some more births.
That's right now.
And that's right now.
There's one any time now.
Anytime.
Yeah.
So that's it for mayor reports, other than I attended the Scottish Highland Games, and once again I got an applause for not having a mayor speech, something that all politicians should note. You get an applause when you don't speak.
Question.
Council reports.
Question for you.
Yes.
Mayor, is it an announcement of what's going to happen Wednesday from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock?
Oh, that... Our planning director has reserved that because
that's his
deal.
That
is his and he's still working on
it.
I just get to speak his words. That's one where they allow me to speak. Even though he keeps changing my script at last minute. Okay, council reports. Councilperson Goodrich.
I just want to note that I will not be at the committee meetings next week, so Councilmember Hansen could go ahead and chair and... appreciate it. I'll be down in California attending my father's memorial.
Our wishes and of all the council are with you.
Very sorry about that, friend. Very sorry about your loss.
Okay, any other council reports or notices, Councilor Hansen?
I'm going to be absent at the next council meeting on the 17th, so I would appreciate your support in excusing me. Thank you.
Maybe.
Okay. You'll any other council reports?
Where are you going?
Quit talking. I'm trying to make my 8 o'clock time here. Okay. Any other council reports? No. Seeing none. Okay. Department reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
No report. City administrator. No report.
Nothing.
City plan director. Very quick report.
Very quick. Wednesday from 3 to 5 at Blaine City Hall. We have something that planning council can attend. GMA discussions.
Just come. Greatest view in the world. Blaine council chambers.
How many people are coming, by the way? Yes.
Doesn't really matter. You're not.
We will be providing notice of forum, but you're not going to be discussing city business.
No
matter. But we'll provide the notice.
I just want you to know there'll be at least four of us.
I would have done it anyway.
Okay.
You should just sit in the audience and listen to the mayor speak and go, that's very nice.
I do that all the time when you're there.
Bring food. Waste time.
Bring food.
Yeah. Who's called with that?
Clerk's department.
Nothing.
Public Works.
Open house on Vista Improvement Project next Wednesday at Misu from 5 to 8.
Did these go to all the business owners on Vista?
These are going to be mailed out to business owners, property owners, posted on the website, and Instagram.
Wait, I have another question. Just kidding.
Well, the mayor's not going to take his thing and extend till 8:30. Police department?
Nope.
Nothing. Okay, motion to adjourn.
So wait.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
What is